Fury TV အစီအစဉ်တွေကို American ပြည်ထောင်စု Washington外泄文件显示，美国最高法院考虑推翻堕胎权决定。2022世界新闻自由指数，中国排名全球倒数第六。美国指责中国为支持俄罗斯对乌战争做虚假宣传。各位观众大家好，我是卡拉，欢迎收看美国观察。5月3号是世界新闻自由日，最新的世界新闻自由指数显示，中国在全球180个国家中排名倒数第六。同时，美国政府指责中国传播俄罗斯政府针对乌克兰战争所做的虚假宣传。今天的节目中我们一同关注。拜登总统周二造访阿拉巴马州的洛克希德马丁工厂，强调美国对乌克兰的援助承诺，呼吁国会尽快通过对乌克兰的额外援助法案。拜登总统说，习近平告诉过他民主不可行，但是美国与盟友必须通过团结协助乌克兰对抗俄罗斯，证明习近平是错的。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅，
美国总统拜登在星期二的上午呢，前往阿拉巴马州的洛克希德公司的工厂。那么这家工厂呢，除了生产美国现在正在提供给乌克兰的这个反坦克标枪导弹之外呢，也生产包括这个萨德防空系统、长城反舰导弹、还有地狱火导弹等先进的武器。那拜登总统说呢，这个标枪导弹是屡建奇功，现在呢有很多的乌克兰父母甚至是以标枪为名来为新生儿取名字。那拜登总统也在说话当中也表示，现在世界正在经历一场这个民主与专制的斗争。他表示呢，中国国家主席习近平曾经向他表示过，民主在21世纪是不可行的，因为要取得共识没有办法来因应改变。那拜登就呼吁呢，大家来团结，证明民主是可以达成共识的，而美国援助乌克兰就是对自由民主的直接投资。我们看一下拜登总统今天怎么说。
Folks, there's an ongoing battle in the world between autocracy and democracy. Xi Jinping, the leader of China, who I've talked with, spent more time with than any other world leader has. He's just as straightforward about it. He says that democracies cannot be sustained in the 21st century. Not a joke. They cannot be sustained because things are moving so rapidly. Democracy requires consensus, and it's hard to get consensus. Therefore,They can't keep up with an autocracy, one-man rule. Since Russia invaded Ukraine just over 2 months ago, we have sent more than $3 billion in security assistance to Ukraine alone, us, not counting our allies. And that money is a direct investment in defending freedom and democracy itself. Because if you don't stand up to dictators, history has shown us they keep coming. They keep coming. Their appetite for power continues to grow.
那我说呢，习近平告诉他民主不可行的原因，就是因为世界局势不断的改变，而民主需要达到共识，而共识是非常难以达成的，因此无法来因应改变。所以拜登总统就呼吁国会一定要团结起来，尽快通过他在上星期已经送交到国会的额外援助乌克兰的这个经费的法案。另外呢，拜登总统也指出，现在这些标枪导弹当中都会大量的使用到这个半导体还有晶片，这也就是为什么他一直大声疾呼美国会要尽快来通过抗衡中国的这个跨党派创新法案。拜登总统说呢，他尽力确保美国与其他国家在竞争的时候，能够在科技尖端上是屹立不摇，尤其是在与中国竞争时，而这个创新法案能够厚植美国的研发实力，提高工资，并且确保美国关键产品如半导体的供应链不会受到国际战争或是流行病的威胁。所以他说呢，基本上这个就是一个国家安全议题。那拜登总统甚至还直接点名说呢，这也正是为什么中国共产党正在背后游说某些人来确保这个法案不会获得通过。卡拉，
是要印。那么另外在美国的国内方面，有美国的媒体披露文件显示说，最高法院有可能会推翻保障堕胎权的裁定。那么白宫方面对此有何回应吗？
是美国的这个媒体呢 ，Politico 报道了从这个最高法院当中泄露出来一份文件，时间是今年二月，内容是这个大法官对于这个1973年的罗素韦德案的看法。从当中保守派大法官的意见看来呢，这个罗素韦德案将可能会被推翻。那么最高法院的首席大法官罗伯兹星期二是证实了这一份文件的真实性，不过他表示呢，最终的判决未必是如这个这个文件当中所呈现出来的，并且说呢，也会来追究泄密者的责任。那拜登总统星期二上午在搭乘空军一号前往阿拉巴马州之前呢，他就说希望大法官们不会像是这个预漏出来的意见书当中一样的意见来做投票，不会来推翻罗素韦德案。我们看一下拜登总统怎么说。
The idea that concerns me a great deal that we're going to after 50 years decide a woman does not have a right to choose.Within the limits of the Supreme Court decision in Casey, number one. But even more, equally as profound, is the rationale used. Right. And right. It would mean that every other decision relating to the notion of privacy is thrown into question. If the rationale of the decision as released were to be sustained, a whole range of rights are in question, a whole range of rights.And the idea we're letting the states make those decisions, localities make those decisions, would be a fundamental shift in what we've done. So it goes far beyond, in my view, if it becomes a law and if what is written is what remains. It goes far beyond the concern of whether or not there is the right to choose. It goes to other basic rights, the right to marry, the right to determine a whole range of things.
那拜登总统说呢，他也担心其他的基本人权的保障呢，也可能会随本案一起被推翻，所以他也在这个早上的时候呢，特别透过白宫发出了一份声明，声明当中的最后就呼吁美国的选民，在年底的其中大选的时候，如果你是担心这个想要来保障妇女身体自主权的人呢，要投给这个理念相近的候选人，让新的国会有办法通过法案来保障妇女的权益。卡拉。
好的，感谢耀一从白宫发回的报道。美国与西方国家官员表示，由于俄军在乌克兰战场上伤亡惨重，进展缓慢，俄罗斯总统普京最快可能在5月9日正式对乌克兰宣战，从而全面动员俄罗斯后备役军人，并将他们投入乌克兰战场。5月9日是俄罗斯卫国战争胜利日。迄今为止，普京一直坚称俄军在乌克兰的行动只是进行一次特别军事行动，绝口不提战争或侵略。美国国务院发言人普莱斯星期一表示，有足够的理由相信俄罗斯将竭尽所能为宣传目的而利用5月9日这个日子。美国国防部官员在星期一的一场记者会上将俄军的行动描述为软弱无力，而与此同时，乌克兰守军在第二大城市哈尔科夫周边反击俄军的战斗中取得了重大进展。美国国务院顾问德里克·乔莱特接受美国之音专访，他表示美中双边关系存有冲突与根本上的分歧，只要双方遵守同样的规则，美国欢迎与中国竞争。美国国务卿布林肯计划在不久的将来阐述拜登政府应对中国挑战的美国国家策略，而乔莱特警告说，不幸的是，美国和中国的合作空间正日益缩小。
Thank you so much for talking to Voice of America.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
Could China subject to secondary sanction if Beijing provides Russia with the financial and material assistance?
The United States has been very clear, President Biden in his conversations with President Xi, Secretary Blinken in his conversations with the Chinese foreign minister, that China will pay a price if it is seen as assisting Russia, either providing it direct assistance, particularly military assistance, or assisting Russia in evading its sanctions. China knows very well the economic consequences that it could face if it's seen as helping Russia. And China itself is suffering because of the sanctions we have placed on Russia. And so we are hoping that the Chinese make the decision not to support Russia. They, of course, have talked about a relationship, the U.S.-China, or the China-Russia relationship is one that says, quote unquote, no limits. That was the language of the joint statement that they released prior to the Olympics. But we're very watchful of what China is doing and made very clear to them the consequences of their actions if they choose to provide that kind of support to Russia.
So a secondary sanction is still on the table.
I don't want to get ahead of things in terms of what kind of consequences they would face, but I think they know quite well our capabilities.
Is Secretary's speech on China before or after the ASEAN summit?
Well, I don't want to get ahead of the Secretary's speech. He's of course, plays a very high priority on our strategy towards China, and we'll look forward to speaking to that in the coming weeks.
What is the U.S. approach to PRC? Can two countries work together after Russia's war in Ukraine?
Well, the U.S.-China relationship is a very complicated relationship. There are elements of it that are conflictual, clearly, where areas where the U.S. and China are going to fundamentally disagree. There are areas of that relationship that are competitive, and the United States welcomes the competition with China as long as we are playing by the same set of rules. And there are areas of the relationship that we think by necessity have to be cooperative. For example, on an issue like climate change, where we are not going to be able to address the consequences of a warming climate if the United States and China can't find a way to work together. Unfortunately, that's a dwindling space in terms of the cooperation space. So it's a very complex, multifaceted relationship. But when it comes to China's behavior in the international system and its willingness to undermine the rules-based order or bully its neighbors or try to create facts on the ground, or shall I say facts in the sea, in the South China Sea, or take Russia's side when it comes to the conflict in Ukraine, we've been very clear our position on China's behavior and the consequences China would face if it were to pursue such behavior.
As Washington is hosting a special summit with ASEAN in May, what is the U.S. pitch to ASEAN on Ukraine?
The ASEAN Special Summit, hosted here in Washington in a few weeks, will be a historic summit. It will be the first time that ASEAN leaders have been able to meet here in Washington. It will be the largest meeting of leaders here in Washington since before the pandemic. And our pitch to our ASEAN allies and friends is the same pitch we make to all of our allies and friends around the world. We see that there's a clear side that we all should be on against what Russia has been doing in Ukraine. We want ASEAN friends to stand with us when it comes to isolating and punishing Russia and also doing whatever we can to support Ukraine. And that's a message that I carried personally a few weeks ago when I was in the Philippines and Vietnam. And I know that President Biden, Secretary Blinken, and others will carry at the summit in a few weeks.
Does the U.S. feel ASEAN is on the same page with the U.S. and showing solidarity?
We believe we have shown solidarity, and ASEAN friends, all of whom are very worried about the issues of sovereignty and territorial integrity and the ability of large countries to try to bully and perhaps use military force against smaller countries. These are all issues they fully understand. Many ASEAN countries have direct experience with that kind of behavior over the past several decades. So we find that they're very good partners, and clearly ASEAN countries have different relationships with Russia, different histories with Russia, and we fully understand that. So we are not going to have a one-size-fits-all answer, but we believe, need to stand together when it comes to making clear to the world that Russia's behavior is completely unacceptable and there needs to be a price for it.
美国政府指责中国政府和官方媒体经常放大或传播俄罗斯政府针对乌克兰战争所做的虚假宣传，这表明北京表面上保持中立，实际上支持莫斯科发动的对乌战争。美国国务院星期一在一份声明中说，中国为俄罗斯做宣传，一方面将普京无理和无端的对乌克兰发动战争合理化。 另一方面，损害民众对美国和其他国家以及对民主机制和独立媒体的信任。国务院的声明列举了中国采取的三种手法来影响公众对乌克兰问题的看法，还列举了中国官员和官媒在俄罗斯发动亲乌战争前后制造亲俄反美舆论的实力。另一方面，美国高级官员表示，他们还没有发现中国对俄罗斯公开提供军事和经济支援的行为。 5月3日是世界新闻自由日。在世界新闻自由指数报告中，中国在全球180个国家当中排名倒数第六。保护记者协会最新报告显示， 2021年全球共有293名记者入狱，其中有50名被关押在中国，是全世界最多。 保护记者协会亚洲项目协调员白乐维指出，中国监禁的记者人数不断攀升，香港也在去年首次有记者因言获罪，这样的现象令人担忧。而且随着上海等地的疫情封锁政策以及中共二十大的到来，情况或许还会恶化。
So we see this as when journalists are put into jail, of course it scares the other journalists and really forces them to conform. And under the lockdown in Shanghai and in other places, we have seen this grow even more severe. Even citizen journalists who are putting information online, they're stamped out very quickly. There's such a mass revolt in Shanghai that it's very difficult for the authorities to keep all comment off the internet. When people post videos or critical comments, it doesn't stay online for very long. So we see this as throughout the China region, including Hong Kong, as gradually becoming much more severe. I think in the run-up to the Party Congress, this is going to become even more severe. I think everyone realizes now that China's zero COVID policy has been a failure in many ways. Early on, it seemed to be quite successful, but with these highly contagious variants, it's clear that the government has to take extraordinary measures that are really counterproductive in order to enforce this. And yet no one can openly say this in China, because that would involve a challenge to the Chinese president. So I think we're going to see more and more controls. Can we hope for something better after the Congress? It's very difficult to envision this. It's been a hallmark of Xi Jinping's regime and his rule that information controls have become tighter and tighter over time.
联合国教科文组织将2022年世界新闻自由日的主题定为数字围困之下的新闻业，突出一些国家通过大数据收集和人工智能对新闻业的监视以及表达自由和隐私的影响。最近一周，中国滴滴出行总裁刘青和其父亲联想集团创始人柳传志的微博突然被清空，知名市场分析师洪浩的微博和微信公众号被取消，美团网创始人王兴的微博也被清空。万达集团董事长王健林之子王思聪在微博上批评上海清零政策之后，其有2000多万粉丝的微博账号被清零。对此，保护记者协会亚洲项目协调员白乐维表示，针对科技业高管的网络镇压显示，中国政府意图压迫网络声量大的人士发表未经政府授权或认可的意见。
It suggests that China simply doesn't want any dissident opinions or even friendly challenges to what it is doing. Because after all, these executives were not openly challenging communist rule, but they may have been expressing opinions that were not authorized or endorsed by the Communist Party. So I think what we're seeing is a continuing level of crackdown on any independent source of authority or power.
欢迎继续收看美国观察。乌克兰战争，或者更确切地说是乌克兰被迫应战捍卫家园的战事已经持续2个多月了。今天我们就一起来回顾一下乌克兰的诉求，或者说乌克兰为何而战。美国之音记者燕青最近采访了欧洲国家的一些高级外交官员，从他们的言谈当中也可以看出欧洲尤其是欧盟现有的成员国对于乌克兰战事、乌克兰民众的诉求有怎样的评论。燕青你好，给我们介绍一下您所掌握到的消息好吗？
好的，卡拉你好，各位观众朋友好。最近采访到了一些来自欧洲国家的高级外交和国防事务官员，其中呢就包括到华盛顿访问的捷克外交部长。然后这个捷克外长呢，我想他所谈到的一些内容呢，一些想法可以说是代表了不仅仅是他个人，是可以说是欧洲民主国家，更可以具体的说呢，是欧洲的这种在前苏联倒台之后呢，就是当时候讲是那些新兴的民主国家， 是中东欧那些国家呢，那些领导人、那些民众，他们呢对捍卫在当年1989年、1990年冷战结束之后呢，从这种由前苏联控制的华沙公约组织当中走出来，然后成立独立的国家，对那些国家来讲呢，是一个新的建国的过程。然后他们呢，有幸呢，经过很多代的努力呢，尤其是1980年代、70年代、80年代、90年代的这种不断努力呢，把自己的国家建成了就是民主自由的国家，和西欧的国家呢可以说是可以媲美。然后他们看到乌克兰的局势呢，就是不仅仅为乌克兰民众争取国家的尽可能的领土完整，还有呢就是乌克兰未来的走向，他们我想是感同身受，就如同他们自己呢，就是中东欧国家，就是东北欧，在Baltic States 波罗的海那些国家呢，他们当年纷争的这个过程呢，如今在乌克兰呢又重新看到了。所以乌克兰像这个捷克外长所指出的，乌克兰如今他们就是说奋战和奋争的不仅仅是疆域的问题，更为重要的呢可以说是就是乌克兰作为一个国家、一个民族，还有乌克兰的民众作为这些个人，他们对各自的，英文讲叫 identity， 中文没有一个特别准确的翻译，可能比较稍微类似的翻译说法呢，就是对个人的这种认知和主体感和自我意识和自我表达。乌克兰人还有乌克兰作为一个国家和民族，现在在争取的是对自我认知、对民族的认知和国家的前途、国家的未来，疆域之内要有什么样的政府和政体来主导，社会要是什么样子的，他们面临的现在是这样的一种纷争。然后这个捷克呢，今年7月1号开始将成为每6个月轮一次的叫欧盟轮值主席国。现在呢，就是从今年2022年的1月1号开始呢，目前的轮值主席国是法国。6个月呢，就是6月底之后呢，法国的就将从轮值主席国的位置上退下来。7月1号开始是捷克。欧盟的这些国家当中呢，每一个国家不管多大多小，都有责任、都有义务来领导，就是这个20多个国家的这种多国组织。然后接下来是捷克，然后捷克外长呢，在跟我们采访的时候呢，提到了哈，就说捷克作为欧盟轮值主席国，将如何看待乌克兰的问题，尤其是呢，乌克兰要求加入、正式加入欧盟的这一诉求。现在呢，我们来听一下捷克外长是怎么说的。
My vision for our presidency is to carve in a stone that Ukraine has a right to be part of European society, that Ukraine has a right to become a member of EU. And I understand that there are different opinions on that already in EU. I take it very seriously. I'm listening to it very seriously. And for me, it's a point for things to be changed and explained. And we know that once the war is over, we will pay for the complete reconstruction of Ukraine. Once the war is over, and Ukraine will win this war, I'm 100% sure of that, that we will be helping Ukraine to rebuild the whole nation, to rebuild the whole country. let's do it in a way that Ukraine can then be member of EU. That's the point of the whole thing.
是燕青，我们看到这个捷克外长他在这一段访谈当中是提到了几个非常重要的概念，那么其中呢就包括欧盟作为一个主体的概念，还有就是乌克兰战后的重建。那么现在我们还有大概两分半钟的时间，能不能根据你和他的这段访谈给我们介绍一下这方面的话题？
好的，捷克的外长呢提到，就是说乌克兰重建，这对于乌克兰来讲，还有对乌克兰的邻国和世界来讲，都是一个机遇。现在呢，我们来听一下他是怎么样来对欧盟这一概念，还有对乌克兰民众的纷争做一个解释的。
We are not just a trade bloc. We are also value-based. And Ukrainians, as a nation, people made a decision that those are the values they want to live.They are literally fighting and dying for their choice now.
是另外燕青，我们说到这个捷克啊，这个可能我们最熟知的这个政治人物应该就是哈维尔了，他是捷克的第一任民选的总统。那么他的这个政治理念，对于目前的捷克民众来讲，还有没有巨大的影响力呢？
可以说是影响力还是相当大的。因为哈维尔他代表的是一种理念和理想主义，然后呢就是捷克还有当初的捷克斯洛伐克很幸运的，就是说这一种理念不仅仅是存在于就是书面上，还有是一种幻想，而是捷克还有斯洛伐克的民众呢，还有他们的领导人，还有全社会上下呢，都能够将这一理念和理想付诸了实施。然后最近的这个捷克的选举呢，也恰恰证实了这一点，就是保守派还有就是说 progressive 稍微就是左翼的这些阵营呢，一起携手组成了一个这种联合政府，大家共同的就是秉持的一点呢，就是要民主和自由，还有成为欧盟还有北大西洋公约组织的一部分。在一些社会问题上呢，可能有一些分歧，但是呢，就是他们有最终的核心价值，是这些不管是左翼还有右翼的党派呢，都能够结合在一起。我想哈维尔知道这一点，也应该是非常欣慰的。好的，谢谢卡拉。
好的，是非常感谢燕青接受今天的采访。美国国家安全委员会印太协调员坎贝尔星期一说，拜登总统将邀请太平洋国家领导人在今年晚些时候访问白宫，美国将加紧努力增进地区关系。坎贝尔说，美国计划向一些仅有最低美国外交存在的太平洋岛国派出大使。就在几个星期前，所罗门群岛与中国签署了秘密安全协议，让美国和盟友担心北京能够向太平洋投放军事力量。中国所罗门群岛协议宣布之后，坎贝尔带领美国的高级代表团访问了所罗门群岛，讨论扩大外交关系和美国的援助计划。在来自美国最高法院的一起罕见的泄密事件中，美国新闻网站 Political 报道称，他已经获得美国最高法院的一份意见草案，显示最高法院的大多数成员赞成推翻1973年具有里程碑意义的使堕胎在全美国合法化的罗素韦德案。这份被萨米尔·阿利托大法官称为第一稿，并在二月份在其他大法官中分发的文件，违反了大法官们非常秘密的讨论程序。根据这个程序，在正式发布裁决之前，他们的决定不为外人所知。美国总统拜登周二在一份声明中表示，目前尚不清楚该文件是否真实，或者它是否反映了法院的最终决定。以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您收看今天的节目，我们下次再见。